feel like women fall into two camps. They're either like so overwhelmed, they don't know where to turn to next and they just like freeze up, or they don't have enough on their plate and they're slightly bored. And either one of those can lead to a slump and a funk. And so I think it's good to identify yourself, like which camp might you fall into? If you're falling into the camp of, you know, you maybe don't have enough, you're not being productive with your time and stuff, I challenge you to fit your housework into a much smaller time frame than you think you can do, and you will be surprised at what you can do.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I am having on the two hosts, Megan and Jaina from Honey, I'm Homemaker podcast. They talk about homemaking from their Mennonite perspective. I love their podcast. I was listening to it a few months ago, and that's when I got the idea to have them on as a pair. I've had on Megan before, but I wanted the two of them. They're both their cousins, and they really play well off each other. Unfortunately, my internet was acting up, which makes it so hard to have like a really good back and forth conversation because there's that lag. Then I end up interrupting people. Very frustrating. But I still think that there's lots of wisdom to offer to hopefully keep you company while you are doing your own homemaking tasks. So let's dive in. All right. Welcome on, Megan and Jaina. I'm so excited to have you on to talk about homemaking and getting in a funk. I love listening to your Honey, I'm Homemaker podcast. And I think I was inspired by one of your episodes somewhat recently to do this episode. Just, I think you guys were talking about, it was over the summer, what, whenever you get into a homemaking funk, what you do about it. So we're going to go into that. Let's start with some introductions. Tell us about you and your podcast and your YouTube, whatever you want to share.
Well, I'm Megan Fox. I started the YouTube channel Megan Fox Unlocked. And through that, I had a desire to connect with people on more like of an audio platform and just to like break down things in more of a complex way, like you can do with a podcast platform. And so when I was thinking of somebody to ask on to be a co-host, Jaina came to my mind right away. We're practically the same person, but also very opposite. So I feel like we add a good balance to different ways of homemaking and showing that I'm not right and she's wrong, or vice versa. We've had a lot of fun together with it so far. Our podcast is called Honey, I'm a Homemaker. And on there, we talk about all things homemaking from a Mennonite perspective, since we both grew up Mennonite and are still Mennonite currently. So yeah, it's just been really fun. And we've connected with a lot of women through it. Oh, I have, just for context, I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an almost 2-year-old.
Cool. I'm Jaina Burkholder. I'm Megan's cousin. I've been married to 11 years to Eric. He owns some auto body repair businesses. I have 2 kids, a almost 8-year-old and an almost 6-year-old, one in second grade and Finley is in kindergarten part-time. So I'm new to this whole school thing, and both my kids being in school now, just trying to figure out how that all looks for me and how that impacts my homemaking and everything. I'm enjoying a lot of the alone time, but it is definitely a learning curve to learn how to fill my time with good things.
Yeah. So this is kind of fun because we all have a little bit of different perspectives here, because I have 8 kids. I'm homeschooler. So they're home with me all the time. And then, you know, we all run businesses. Some have, you know, all different perspectives here. So I think that's a nice balance. So tell us first, how you mentioned that you're raised Mennonite. How has that impacted your homemaking? That's a loaded question.
So I think it's impacted my homemaking because we were taught like gender roles, whether, you know, you think that's a bad thing or a good thing. That's how we were raised, that the woman's responsibility is the home. So I always grew up knowing that someday I wanted to be a wife and a mother, and that the dishes were going to be my job, the laundry is my job. So I just come from that background of really core values of being of homemaking. And I saw my mom do it for years. And yeah, it's definitely influenced how I raise my family and how I care for my home.
Yeah. And I would say that just the camaraderie and the companionship that is living in a Mennonite area with so many other Mennonite women that we're homemaking from the age of like 20, 21, you know, typically it's not like a role of any kind, but we often get married younger. And while we might still keep a job outside the home until, you know, we have a couple kids, homemaking is kind of just something that we all kind of know we'll grow up and do someday. Not that it's our only option, but it's something I think we've seen modeled joyfully in our mothers. And so it's something we want to give to our children too. And so while I didn't always have all this excitement for being a mom, it scared me. It looked boring in some aspects sometimes. I hate to say it, but I've learned to make homemaking my own. And just with being a Mennonite, you have so many peers that are doing the same thing as you. And I hear from so many women all the time that feel alone in their homemaking and in their motherhood. And I have so many friends with children that are my age. I mean, I can set up a play date with a kid exactly the same age and gender as my kids if I wanted to. And that can sometimes come with challenges too of balancing life out and, you know, how much are you at home? How much are you away and all of that? But yeah, I would say being raised Mennonite, you're not lonely in your homemaking calling in any way. And there's always somebody who has like some experience or some perspective or has been there already, and you can get firsthand knowledge from them and not be just like web MDing everything or, you know, finding information on Facebook and stuff like that. So I really appreciated the whole community that is, you know, Mennonite homemaking.
Yeah, that is such a cool thing. And I've noticed that with some other Mennonite families that I've interacted with, that it does seem like there's a really built-in community that a lot of us in the other parts of the country, I know that not Mennonites aren't only in Pennsylvania, but it just seems like you have such a culture there that a lot of us have a more difficult time finding because you were actually raised with this. So for me and, you know, a lot of people in my circles, our moms didn't homemake. And so it was something that we learned, you know, in our early 20s. It seemed like maybe even it took some people a while to even figure out if it was something that they wanted to do because it wasn't modeled quite like that as something beautiful and exciting. And there's so many things that you can pursue in your home. So I think that that's a really cool thing that you're actually coming into it for the most part, thinking that it's going to be something that you want to do, not just something that you have to do, which I think a lot of us kind of think like, you know, all of these things that we have to do in our home are things that we have to do.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't have to. I mean, it is a choice, but I think it's a really good one. And I think like, yeah, with raising our kids and stuff, it's a very valuable experience to have their mom at home and learn alongside. Not the only option, of course, but I think it's a good one.
Yeah. It's all I've ever wanted to do ever since I was little.
Yeah.
I knew that's what I wanted to do. Being a homemaker and a mom was always my dream.
She wanted all the babies right away. Give them to her.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You sound like one of my daughters. Like she's wants to have all the babies, you know, wants to get married young and have all the babies. So we'll see how that pans out for her. So, okay. I'm sure there are times though, whenever the workload of homemaking, it can be very repetitive without having any break. You know, there's not like there's any time where you can just ignore. Like people say, the dishes can wait, the laundry can wait. It can wait, but if it does, then I have to just do it. It's a big, huge pile of stuff. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like whenever homemaking starts to feel too mundane, what are some of the ways that you combat that?
It's a good question. It really is. Gina, do you have any insightful thoughts?
Well, I guess after I had my second child, I used to work one day a week outside the home. And then after I had Finley, that wasn't really an option anymore. So I was bored with the homemaking routine. I didn't really wasn't finding as much fulfillment in it. And I had time on my hands during nap time. So that's when I started my little sewing business. And that was a way to like, I didn't neglect my homemaking duties to do it, but I had the time and I could put my passions and creativity into a little side business. And it just gave me so much fulfillment that I could do that and still be the homemaker and wife and mother that I had always dreamed of doing. So for me, that was key in my life to just finding fulfillment and the desire to create.
Yeah.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse.
That's what helped me too. So what time of day do you feel like is the hardest for you in your motherhood and homemaking? You know, when you have little kids, I think this varies based on the seasons that your kids are in. So for both of you, what does that look like?
So it does really vary on your kids' ages and as they go through the different seasons. Cause I would have always said before the hardest time was like that pre-dinner time. But now I almost think the hardest time is bedtime. I don't know if it's because my oldest son, he's almost 8 years old. He's tired at the end of the day. He's had a long day of school and all the emotions come out at bedtime. And it's just like, I don't want tears at bedtime. I want it to be calm and peaceful, but like getting him to brush his teeth. Did you brush your teeth? Did you brush your teeth? Brush your teeth, get to bed, say your prayer, you know, pray together and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be this nice, beautiful, calming time. And it usually just ends in tears from him. So it's something we're working on, but I'd say that is the time of day that's the most challenging for us right now, is getting them to bed at a decent hour without dramatics.
I think for me, it's not necessarily a time of day as much as like a time of week. Sunday mornings, getting out the door for church by 9 o'clock. It was such a pain point, and nobody wants to go head off to church being a grouch and like annoyed at everybody. And like, it's not your fault. It's everybody else's fault. And that's what everybody's thinking at the same time. So I think whenever you find a spot of the day that's like a hot spot, like it's just really a trial in your home, don't just wallow in the heart of that, but try to think, like identify this is a pain point and what can I do to fix it? And so we've now come up with a system down to who's putting the Cheerios in the bag for the 1-year-old and like all the stuff. And we just kind of go through it. There's not even, you wouldn't even have to talk really if you didn't want to. You know, I have the kids' outfits figured out the night before. Like we don't go into all of our life nearly with that much intentionality, but knowing that Sunday mornings are rough if we're not prepared helps so much. And then we actually have a battle strategy that we can attack. And so, yes, it's changed over the years. You know, right while I'm trying to make supper can be really frustrating. I still haven't figured out a good system for that yet with, you know, they want to eat, but I'm like, you got to save your appetite for supper and all that. I think something we've been trying lately is sitting on the front porch and watching all the neighbors come home from work and stuff like that. That's like a good distraction. But then that doesn't always help me if I have to be stirring stuff in the kitchen. So, you know, you trial and error stuff and don't just wallow in the hard. Use your creativity, you know, like you would if you had a corporate job. Use your creativity to troubleshoot and to solve those pain points.
Yeah, you guys brought up two pain points that we have in our house too. So bedtime and Sunday mornings are both in that same category for us. And we always say that we're going to get better about preparing on Saturday for Sunday, but then there's always stuff going on Saturday too. And so it's like, when are we need to do the same thing, like have a better system. We struggle with everybody being just a little bit unorganized. Like nobody, you know, even the older kids, like, yes, we've told them, yes, you know, we've implemented strategies and whatnot, but still somebody will leave their shoes somewhere where we don't know where they are. And so we're trying to figure out where all the kids' shoes are and all that stuff. So yeah, it can be a bit rough. And then also bedtime with so many different ages it can be a challenge too, like figuring out who's doing the toddlers, who's doing the baby. And then the older kids usually clean up the kitchen. So we have our systems and routines, and I definitely don't expect perfection, but yeah, those are both areas of struggle.
As soon as you said shoes, I think all women, yeah, mothers, spirits united in terror, that feeling of where's your Sunday shoes? Because you have one option. We've got to find
those shoes.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And I can't even imagine combing hair into there. I have boys, so I don't even have to deal with the hair.
Yeah. I don't really, because my oldest two are girls, and so they can handle their own hair at this point. They're almost 15 and 13. But still, like, even the boys, they can look very disheveled because they come down in an outfit that they think's appropriate for church, but it almost never is. And then we also struggle a bit with the kids put away the laundry, which is great. But then also somebody might not notice the size and think, oh, that's so-and-so's jeans. And then you can't find so-and-so's jeans and, you know, all that good stuff. So it can all be a challenge. I guess the key is not expecting perfection with it, you know.
And that's why the Lord gives us usually only one or two at a time, so we can, like, build and add to the chaos. Yeah. I can't imagine just going straight to 8 children right now. Like, I would not know what to
do. No, absolutely not. Yeah, that's totally right. One thing that we've thought about doing, which I need to find the right size baskets, but in underneath our bed, which is on the main level of the house, I have the youngest two kids' clothes. And I'm like, why don't we have 4 baskets in a row? Maybe even 5. No, 4. For all the kids who can't confidently get their clothes, like the right outfit picked out, and then have all of those under our bed. Like, why are they in their room? So still working on finding the right baskets for that, because I want like these big antique vintage looking baskets, and that's a challenge. But I think like some things like that would be smart.
Sounds like a good plan. I like that. We do that with socks and shoes, but nothing else.
Yeah, well, we have all the socks in one big bin too, actually, and the shoes in one area, but yeah, they still don't always end up there.
All right, let's talk natural skincare. I've shared on here about Tubes & Co. so many times, but that is because I can't stop talking about them. I genuinely love it. My sisters and I were always texting, who's making an order? Add this to your order. You know, we combine so we can all get free shipping. My mom, we all love their makeup and their skincare. So today I happen to only be wearing mascara and the eyebrow pencil, but I love the foundation. I have the palette for eyeshadow. So many of their products. I love them all. So I have completely switched my makeup over to Tubes & Co., which is saying something, because natural skincare that has high quality ingredients, tallow from grass-fed cows, nothing synthetic, nothing on the list of things that you don't want to put on your skin. It's hard to find stuff like that that actually works and makes you feel like you have makeup on. And I have found that in Tubes & Co., which is why I love sharing it. I also love their cleansing oil and their moisturizing creams. The tallow balm is my favorite. I have it sitting over a bedside so I can put it on at night, especially this time of year as my skin gets dry. I rely on that to continue not feeling like sandpaper. Tubes & Co. is a family-run company. I actually know their owner, and she is just awesome, Emily Tubes. We text back and forth sometimes, and I support everything they're doing. So if you are looking to clean up your skincare routine, clean up your makeup, Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. So you can head over to tubesandco.com. That's T-O-U-P-S and co.com. Use the code FARMHOUSE. I know that you're going to love their products as much as we do.
So Megan, you didn't really share, like, for you when homemaking gets monotonous. I know you have your YouTube channel. Jaina, you do Etsy. Is that a way that you can, like, escape from the mundane parts of your day? Is that what originally spurred you on to start your YouTube channel?
I would say I don't have a lot of mundane parts to my day, which sounds funny to say, but...
Yeah, I don't either, actually.
I've been the biggest surprise of how fun it is to be a homemaker. Like, I'm my own boss. I'm the queen of my castle. If I don't like something, I don't have to, like, ask permission. I can try new things. It's just, I love it. Did not expect that when I started out as a mom. And yeah. I think for me, something that I feel like women fall into two camps. They're either, like, so overwhelmed, they don't know where to turn to next, and they just, like, freeze up. Or they don't have enough on their plate and they're slightly bored. And either one of those can lead to a slump and a funk. And so I think it's good to identify yourself, like, which camp might you fall into? And if you're falling into the camp of, you know, you maybe don't have enough, you're not being productive with your time and stuff, I challenge you to fit your housework into a much smaller time frame than you think you can do. And you will be surprised at what you can do. I do my mundane housework, I would say, from 9 to 11:30 most days. Like, I fit, that's just doing like the laundry, the tidying up, the cleaning, maybe organizing a drawer, changing the sheets here, whatever the tasks are for the day, you know, maybe even
something in the crock pot, maybe
putting, get something out of the freezer, all that stuff. Maybe that day the project I want to work on is cleaning out the van quick or something like that. And then we go do things. We go on walks. I play with the boys while my daughter is in school. It's just the boys at home. And yeah, I feel like I teach through doing that. I'm modeling to my son that we work before play, and it's necessary. You know, they help as well. You clean the powder room, things like that. But then we go reward ourselves. We do the more fun things, like maybe decorate the front porch or go to the produce stand for something like homemade bread for supper or things like that. And we get out of the house or we go out in the backyard, something like that, to reward ourselves. You know, we did our housework. And so I could make that take all day. Like, I really could. And maybe my homemaking is not up to par with maybe every the model Mennonite homemaker, you know, or whatever. But I don't find that I fall into a slump too much because I'm not doing the mundane. I'm whipping through it, you know? I'm getting the cleaning done, and I don't have one cleaning day where I'm cleaning for 8 hours straight. I'm just constantly doing stuff in that morning section, you know, because the afternoon section I don't have. I'm a YouTuber, and that's what I'm doing, YouTube stuff. And I think, just challenge yourself to, do you really need to take all day to do those three tasks? Maybe if you had something else on your calendar, you'd show yourself how productive you could be.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. It is so true. There's that saying that the work expands to fill the time. It is so true, just because of all the things that I try to fit into my day and actually am pretty much able to do so. I think back to how I used to take all day to do something. I'm like, that did not take that much time. Why did I, you know, if you have to get it done in a certain amount of time and you have your day structured in that way, then you will. So for both of you, how do you structure your day in the current season that you're in? Like, do you make a to-do list? Do you have a schedule, a calendar? With all of the tasks that you have, how do you make that all work?
You won't find me writing a list. Yeah, I'm not a list girl. And okay. As we were talking about it earlier, I don't know if that means like I'm completely just disorganized or if I'm so organized that my brain is just effective at, you know, having everything all come together without external lists. But
yeah,
I'm one of those, like I said before, my youngest just went to school. Now he's just part-time this year. So this year is kind of like, I don't know if you want to call it a gap year or just a learning year of what I am going to fill my time with next year when Finley is in school full time. So I'm definitely going to have to find employment or something to fill my time because I am pretty good at getting my housework done, like Megan said, in a really short amount of time because I used to have to do that. I learned to do that. So now I find myself with all this time. So the challenge is to find good things to fill my time while I don't homeschool, but my children's education is still number one priority. Like, I still want to be home when they get off the bus. I still want to be there to pick. I want to be able to go to school at a moment's notice if they need me. So it has to be something that's super flexible. Also, my husband has a pretty high stress job. He owns businesses, so he's working with employees. Pretty emotionally taxing. So I want to keep my plate relatively empty to be there to support him and also I do all, you know, to do the housework and do most of the things with the kids' school and stuff. So I'm not sure how that's all going to look in the future, but I'm really excited to find something that just fits perfectly into that space and whatever God has for me. But we're still figuring that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I do have a little more structure in my day. I like to have blocks. And so I pretty much just have three main blocks. I'm not super productive in the evening, but what I've found for myself is to, you know, get the housework done early and as soon as possible. That's the priority. And then I have what I call like the errands and adventures portion of my day, which I appreciated your podcast that you did with Francesca Battistelli about the beauty of staying at home. And I liked what you said about anytime you leave the home, the home is sacrificing in some way. Now, for me, it is worth it for me. I like to prioritize errands and adventures. I feel like I'm not the mom who just plops down on the floor and reads her kids 6 books at like a whim. You know, I used to feel guilty for that. I'm not the mom who is like, I will invite my children into my space like, oh, let's bake cookies today or something. But I'm as a whole, I'm not like, they're not they play really well and independently by themselves. They're not leeching on me and stuff. And so they, I might not see them all morning if I don't make a concentrated effort. So I just like the rhythm of getting the housework done. And then we go spend time together, build their relationships, have the little adventures. Maybe they're playing at the skate park and I'm working out, or maybe we take a bike ride to the produce stand, or we just, maybe we take a walk. We live right by a walking trail, so we don't even have to get in the car. We can just go on a walk. And I, that feeds my soul. I love to be outdoors. Even there's a concept called like the third space. When you are around other humans, you don't even have to be speaking with them necessarily, but like kind of the feeling of if you're sitting at a coffee shop and you're, you know, working and there's just other people and humans around you. Maybe you're at the park pushing your kids on the swings and there's some other moms. Yes, there's a, you can definitely interact with them and stuff. That's fine. But even if you're not doing that, even if you're just passing people and smiling on the walking trail and things like that, it puts you in a different space. You're seeing new things. Your eyes are like seeing the bird, and like, it might not feel interesting to your brain, but something about mechanics in your brain and stuff, it can reset you and you start to think more creatively or outside of the box, or just, I don't know, does it raise your dopamine levels? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but for me, I really enjoy that, getting outdoors, and I'm trying to document our hours this year. I don't know if we'll hit 1,000 hours. We might have already hit it. I have to add it all up. But prioritizing being outside and a way to make that fun is to go to new places and see new things, especially in Lancaster County. It's such a beautiful area. There's so many things to do and see. And it's not that we go away every single day, but I like to have an option if I want to, you know, I have time for it.
Uh-huh. That sounds just like how I did motherhood my first probably 7-ish years. And then I feel like we've like outgrown that because I can't get like this massive amount of people like out the door and then just like meander through the park. Like, oh man, like you're bringing up such fond memories of how motherhood looked for me in the first like 7 years. I still love it, but it's different. Like it has to be more home-centered just because the logistics of it, it's not like as carefree. Like I used to put the kids in the stroller and walk into town when we lived in a different area than we do now, because we don't live close to town, but we used to live close to town. And I would like push the stroller all the way to Main Street and like walk into the shops that were down there. And yeah, that is so fun.
The little years, the little years. It definitely will change, I'm sure, as they get older.
Yeah, the little years. It changed for that. And then of course, since we homeschool, like it definitely has to be a more home-centered life to get all of that done. So when the kids are around, you say that you get a lot of your work done in the first couple hours of the day and then you go out and do these adventures, which sounds amazing, good educational experience for the little kids. With that, what are your tips, or how do you get homemaking tasks done while you're caring for babies, toddlers, and all of that? I know you've more recently been in the baby toddler stage, and then I think you're expecting, right, Megan? Didn't I see that too? Like you'll be having another baby soon?
Yes. We're expecting our fourth in February. So that to me sounds like 100 children, but I know like it's just one at a time. We'll figure it out. Jana, do you remember that stage at all? You had two pretty close together.
Like getting the homemaking done.
Yeah. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, I remember it. Yeah, I had two boys, but they were very close together. One thing I tried to remind myself is that their needs are number one priority. Like that comes first. But if I'm also doing the dishes and they're just fussing because, you know, they're cranky or it's getting close to nap time, but their needs are met, like it's okay if they fuss a little bit while I quick finish up a task. Like I'm coming, mommy will get you a snack as soon as I do this. Like, it's okay if they fuss and cry a little bit. And if they're bored, it's good for them to be bored. They'll learn to entertain themselves. But just to remember that needs are needs and those need to be taken care of immediately. But anything else, it can wait a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I find that containment, like when I have little kids, right now I don't have any crawlers. I have a one that's almost two, and then I have the one that's 2 months old. So no crawlers, which those are the ones that, you know, you have to like watch it every second. They can't escape throughout the house. And I just will put up a baby gate or something in the room where I'm doing my thing that I'm doing. And that helps. As long as I have them contained, maybe give them like one drawer in the kitchen or wherever you're doing the task that they can get into, that they think they can't, right? Like they have to think they're getting into something. That really helps me. I try to get my work done. Some people do like the opposite approach. Like a lot of husbands do this, right? Like if they're in charge of the kids for the day, they'll play all day and then put the kids to bed and then do the housework. Whereas like my goal is to get it done while they're awake so that I can use like bedtime for other things, right?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never understood the whole like put the kids down for naps and then get the work done. I'm like, no, that's like your time. That's, I mean, work on your side hustle or read a book or sit on the porch like Jana does. Like, enjoy that. Cause yeah, also there is great, not just selfishly, but there's great value in your kids seeing you do the things, and that's how they're learning. You might not realize, like, you might not be talking through every single thing you're doing, but they see how to do it. They're watching, and you're just modeling how to do life skills. And so I think you're actually not saying it's wrong, but you might be robbing your children from some education, like home ec education, you know, that when you're doing it around your children. Mm-hmm. And the one tip would be, if you're pregnant with your first, praise God, you can start from scratch. You can teach them, like, you don't come the minute they start fussing if they're safe. And, you know, you can teach them, you know, starting from the ground up. And I feel like that's what I did somehow. I don't know. I must have heard that advice somewhere. And then the oldest just teaches the second one. They play together. And it just, that first one is so, so crucial. And so I've never had clingy children, not saying that, you know, this fourth one couldn't be that way. But I think something else that I do, since they do play so well, sometimes you can tell they need some extra attention. They're, you know, teary or just more high maintenance. And so what I like to do is remind myself to invite them into my space. Like, after I'm done doing this, we're going to bake chocolate chip cookies, you know, and then they can get excited about it. And I know it's going to take an extra half an hour to get the task done because they're involved, but you know, it's creating connection, and you're also teaching them, you know, the homemaking skills and stuff as well. Or that can also look like just randomly plopping down with them because you're waiting for the laundry to get done or something, and you have like a 2-minute break. And so you just sit down and read a book without them asking. You know, when it works for you, you be in charge of it a little bit more so than just like rolling with their punches, if you know what I mean. And I think that can help a lot as well. But yeah, I know every child is different, so I don't want to come across acting like I have it all together. I just maybe just blessed to have good solo player. You know, they play well by themselves. And one other thing I did think of too was, if you can set up a space outdoors that you can also be getting work done and also supervising. And this is for older children, obviously. Like my 4-year-old, I can watch him playing on the playground. We put it at a very strategic spot, not where I want. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to put it somewhere else. It's not an aesthetic spot in any way.
Right.
But my goodness, it has given me so much. Yeah, they're out there playing. Even like the neighbor kids can come over and I can supervise while I'm getting some things done. And that just helps you get some time back as well.
Another thing that I thought of is that we need to remember that moms, especially moms of littles, are on duty 24/7. So there is no shame in taking many breaks during the day, like sitting down and eating a snack for 15 minutes or just taking a 20-minute nap or an hour nap if the night necessitated that, or just like, sometimes we feel like we have to be productive and busy all the time, and you can't. You need to take breaks, especially when you're getting up during the night, or even just there's something about being on duty. You know your kids might wake up, even if they don't, they might, and that's a little draining. So I think I need to remind myself when they were little too, like, just take a break. You're not being lazy. You're prioritizing your own physical needs, and yeah, many breaks throughout the day.
Yeah. And I like what you said too, Jaina, because I think, you know, these days we all can have some kind of side hustle, but it is not for everybody to do. Like you were saying, for your husband's job, for you to mentally be like, because when you have a side hustle, even when it's confined to like an hour or two of the day, it's still on your mind a lot. Like that's how mm-hmm. I feel. And I'm sure you understand that, Megan, which is, for me, that's good. It works for our family. But for some people, that just your mind being free is really, really important. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
I want to take a quick break to tell you about my blogging masterclass. So 7, almost 8 years ago, I bought the domain farmhouseonboon.com and started posting on a blog. Since then, I have learned so much. The first several years was just me figuring out what to post, lots of light bulb moments. Spoiler alert, it's no longer a journal where you share what your family's doing and what you're working on. Blogging is a whole different strategy. A lot of people think that blogging is dead, but it is far from dead. It's actually the most profitable part of our business is blogging. So it is by no means dead, but it does require a whole different strategy. And I see a lot of people making a lot of mistakes, even some seasoned bloggers who aren't aware of like how blogging has changed. That is why I have my free masterclass where I show you my four-step framework that I use for becoming a full-time blogger. So for over 5 years now, my husband's been home. We've made blogging a full-time income. And you can find that masterclass over at bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school. All one word, all lowercase, bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school.
Okay, so one question I got, we did like a little poll the audience thing on Instagram and people are really excited to hear me talk with you too, is sometimes I get in a homemaking funk because I'm bored of the routine, but my routine exists for a reason. And when I try to shake it up, everything goes off the rails. So I'd love some advice on how to get out of a funk while still maintaining your routine. So like, I guess that would just be having some margin to throw in some of these other things. What are your tips for that?
She said margin, Jaina.
Oh, I don't know. It's such a hard question because I feel like I don't have a good enough routine in the first place. Like I'm not a scheduled person. So maybe throw out the routine and maybe just start it all over. Really, really wreck your world. No, I don't know. I can't say that I have any great tips for that, but I think it's a good point.
But you said though that like you might be better at moving through all the things you need to do without having a list and a routine. For some people, that might be harder to like categorize.
Yeah, I think it comes from watching my mom all those years. Like, I just know what needs to be done. And so I guess I'm also pretty good at like looking around me and seeing the need and then making a mental note that if I can't do it right this second, I'm going to do it later.
Yeah, I think there's something about that homemaking dance that is just kind of like, I thrive on it. I enjoy like, you know, tossing this load of laundry in here and like stirring that over there and like, you know, getting it all done at once so we can go live real life and all that. But I would say if you are in a slump, just feeling uninspired, you're actually dreading things, think who got you there. It was you. So maybe you need to do something that you normally wouldn't do. Try to think creatively outside of the box. If you have to stay home because of the age of your children or the amount of children, maybe do ordinary things in unexpected places, like let the children have their snack on the front porch or something, or let them do painting or coloring, something low key under the table instead of on the table. Or we've already done things like have story time on the staircase so that it's like an amphitheater and they're all sitting on the steps, you know, different things. It doesn't always need, you don't need to always like buy them a new toy or something. Just do the normal things in a weird place. And I think this is a great time of year to try that. It's so beautiful outside. Well, it is getting really cold now, I guess, too. But if you have some warm days left, you know, do some things outside that you normally do indoors or whatever and just shake it up. And then if you are able to get out of the home, you know, do random things. Like maybe, I don't know, the other day I just had the urge to take my kids. I only needed two ingredients. And I was like, I would normally just suffer through until grocery, you know, the grocery trip. But it was for something with other people and I committed and I needed to get it. And I was like, we should just go to like the fancy grocery store and like explore around and look at the Olive Bar and like all that kind of stuff or go to a new park. Yeah, there's all kinds of things to shake it up by going to a new place or something too. But sometimes that just the mental idea of getting everybody in the vehicle and going is just too much. So yeah, I don't know. I would say think about you are the one that got you there. So maybe do something that you don't normally do. I don't know.
Well, yeah. And it's going to look so different.
Maybe you just need a girls' night.
Yeah. Girls' nights are always, always good. I actually get one of those weekly right now during like the school year because my kids go to an Awana's and my sister and I take like what do we do? Four of her kids, five of mine, and we all get in my big van and then we go to Awana's and then me and my other sister and her meet up for sushi. And so it's like, yeah, that really does help. We look forward to that a ton.
Yeah.
But I think like what we're noticing is that we all three sort of have different priorities with what works for our families, what works for us. And so the way that we're going to get out of the slump is really going to all stem back to our priorities. Like yours, Megan, you keep saying like, get it all done quick so you can leave the house. Like that's what's going to get you to do it fast. And then Jaina's like, okay, make sure that you have these space, like, so that way your mind is like mentally free to be there for the kids when they come home from school and like have, you know, a peaceful mind for your husband. And I'm like, okay, I got to fit it into these times so that I have time to homeschool the kids. And like, you know, there's just going to be a different way that we're all going to do based on our priorities.
Yes. And that's beautiful. I love that you acknowledge that. There you go. You're not wrong just because you're different than your sister or your friend. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say too, some of these homemaking routines that we're talking about have actually been so therapeutic for me coming out of a stage of grief with having two miscarriages last year. Like I just found so much comfort in just like folding the laundry, doing the dishes. Like it can kind of, it can even chase away anxiety sometimes if I just like, I am here in my comfortable home. I'm doing the dishes. My children are playing in the background. We're safe. We're healthy. I've just found so much comfort in the mundane, and maybe that makes mm-hmm. me a boring person, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think housework has to be mundane or daunting. And for me, it's just been a real sense of comfort lately.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it with our homes. Like they need to be a place that feels very comfortable and safe. So as far as like your routines, do you, each of you have routines, or is it just kind of like, you know, what needs to get done and you know how to move through the day and get that done?
Yeah. I don't have like a set schedule or routine. I don't have a cleaning schedule. I clean every day. I just pick the dirtiest thing and clean it. I would probably spend, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes every day just cleaning something. How to stay on top of things. I wash the kitchen floor at least weekly. The bathrooms, I can't promise they get done weekly, but that would be the goal, that they get mm-hmm. done almost every weekly. Megan, I know, does laundry every day. I do not. We have a little smaller family, so I feel, and my husband has uniforms, so that really helps keep the laundry down too. But I probably do laundry 4 times a week, so maybe like every other day. But I think for me, I love to stay on top of it. Like I don't like it to pile up too much. So I feel like I'm constantly doing laundry, but then it's nice to have a day or two a week where I don't do any, but never do I ever clean the whole house in one day.
Right. No, me neither. That's way too much.
But you don't understand, Lisa. That's like next to godliness. this is how we were raised. Like our mothers, Friday or Saturday,
okay.
your children were at school during the week, like you had cleaning day and you cleaned for like 6-7 hours, and everything was cleaned and put away at once. And I don't want to clean for 7 hours, but I would love for my entire home to just be clean all at once. Like it sounds like paradise, you know, but
it would last for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, maybe I'm remembering, I was the oldest, so maybe, but no, I do remember when my sister was born, when I was 15 and stuff, my mom did that with little children somehow.
That was what she did.
And like,
did,
it was just something she prioritized. And I am like Jaina. I clean in bits and pieces. I tried the whole cleaning routine. I was really into like watching all the Fly Lady YouTube videos there for a while. I made myself this pretty PDF printable chart, and I did it for my home. Like what I'm going to, every Thursday, I'm going to clean out the van because we have ball on Friday, or like, you know, all these things. I really thought through it, and I didn't want the chart to tell me what I had to clean that day. It's like, no, that's dirty. That's getting cleaned. And yeah, it just didn't work for me. But I think don't knock until you tried it. Like the other thing I've thought I would hate is laundry every day, and I love it. So have fun, experiment. You're the queen of your castle. You can try different things out and sometimes just trying something new gets you out of the slump. I was excited for those, like that week and a half that the cleaning schedule worked, and it kind of made me look at my day a little differently. And then I realized, nope, I was smarter than the chart and I knew what to do. So yeah, I don't know. Just little shakeups like that can get you out of your like rut. But then as Gina said too, sometimes the rut is what brings you security and safety as well. So just knowing the balance of those two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we have to talk about like the modern day person. We have to like, we're forced to bring this up every single time. But sometimes we have way too much information. You know, we have homemaking podcasts like you and I both have. We have channels. We have Fly Lady routines. We have The Minimal Mom. We have all of these like great experts who all have their ideas, which are all great and helpful when you're in a slump. But sometimes we just need to turn it off mm-hmm. and just get to work, right? Like, however it has to get done, there's no routine. Sometimes we want there to be some like hack to get out of the amount of work that it is to keep up a house. And there's not a hack.
Yeah, amen.
And that's why there's not a rule book or like a study guide for how to do the homemaking, because you are the one that can write the study guide on your family, because every family is so different, totally different shapes. Even just thinking, like we just had a little gender reveal, even the genders of our children are all like mixed up and different, and like the age gaps and all those things and how fast they come and just our each of our own capacities and our giftings. And I fully believe that God wants us to use our talents and our gifts in our homemaking And that's just so different. Like, obviously, I'm like the adventure quality time mom, but I'm not the craft lady at all. Like, the amount of times I get glitter out in a year is like twice, you know?
I didn't do it that many.
Yeah. If Ivani's lucky, twice a year, right? So, yeah. And then there's other moms that are always like really big on like reading books to their kids, or like, you know, their kids are always in the kitchen with them and stuff like that. And so, yeah, stop judging yourself so harshly to everybody else's standards and comparing yourself to, like, you have your own mom superpower. Lean into that and then just, yeah, like you said, get started. Don't just be frozen in that absorbing information stage.
Right. Yes. And there are different things that are going to get different people excited. Like, those charts are going to get some people so excited. Like, they're going to open up their little, like, special new box of markers, get the chart, like, dry erase. Like, this is going to just light them up. That all just sounds, like, so dreadful to me personally. But that, you know, that system will work for some people. So, yeah. Sometimes you just got to get off the internet and do it. Yeah,
exactly. When I taught school, I would sometimes call it boot camp. But like after Christmas, the kids would come back with bad habits and stuff, or like they were, you know, things like that. And I'd be like, okay, we're all working together here. We're going to be super neat and tidy. At the end of every day, we're going to, you know, really work on like the fundamentals and stuff. And I do that with my kids sometimes too. Like, instead of getting like annoyed at them or grouchy or mad, I identify that I maybe haven't been on their tails as hard as I should. We've been getting sloppy with stuff, and just let them know, okay, we're going to have boot camp next week. When it comes to our morning routines, like, you guys are going to set the table and like make it kind of fun and like a challenge. And you're like working together and reset, I guess is what you can say, instead of, yeah, just like waiting till it gets so bad, you just like fly off the handle or whatever. And you're just like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I also just want to say there is enough time. I know I have a few questions on here about like, what do you do whenever you feel like you just can't stay on top of everything? And that, I'm not saying that it's not hard, but I'm saying this to my own self too. There is enough time. There's enough time to get like, not perfection, but the basic things done in your home, as long as there's not too many other things competing for your attention.
Yeah. Priorities again.
Yeah. Back to the priorities.
Yeah. And it goes back to what I was saying early too, about accepting the responsibility of the home. Like, I'm not sitting around looking for anyone else to do it. I know no one else
They're
is
going
to empty that dishwasher. That's my job. No. So it just makes it easier to just suck it up and do it. I'm not blaming someone else for it. I fully take responsibility. So yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes too, we make excuses for ourselves because certain people have certain things easier, whether that's they have other outside help, or they have certain number of kids, or they have older kids that help. Like, we all do this, and we all just need to just, our own situation is what it is. You know, nobody's, even if it is a lot harder than other people's, because it very, very well could be, you know, obviously there's varying levels of what we all have to deal with, but it just doesn't help, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So both of you, tell us where to best find you, where you have your podcast and your YouTube or Instagram, whatever you want to share for people to continue to get some of this homemaking inspiration.
Our joint platform would be Honey, I'm Homemaker. It's a podcast you can find on Spotify, iTunes. Currently, there's only 2 episodes up because our first 3 seasons we put only on my YouTube channel, Megan Fox Unlocked. But we've outgrown that. We decided to start our own YouTube channel. So my preferred method to recommend for you guys to take in our podcast is to go to our Honey, I'm Homemaker YouTube channel. And if you'd like to watch like tons of back episodes, just go to MeganFoxUnlocked.com. And we can put all these links, you know, in the show notes or whatever. But
yeah.
So there's like 24 Honey, I'm Homemaker episodes on Megan Fox Unlocked on YouTube. And then all the new ones that are coming out will be on our YouTube channel, Honey, I'm Homemaker. And then Spotify and iTunes as well. I hope that makes sense. And that's Jaina and I's project.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Jaina Burkholder, but I don't do a whole lot on there. Probably the Honey, I'm Homemaker account is the one that you want to follow.
Oh, yes. We're Honey, I'm Homemaker on Instagram.
Cool. Yeah, and I just pulled it up on the podcast app, or the Apple Podcast app, but it looks like all your episodes have uploaded there as well.
That's correct. Yep. And then, yeah, I have my YouTube channel, Megan Fox Unlocked. Megan Fox Unlocked on Instagram. Jane and I both run the Honey, I'm Homemaker Instagram account. That's a lot of fun. You never know what you're going to find over there. We love to keep that pretty scrapbooky.
Yeah.
And then I also have a website, MeganFoxUnlocked.com, where I sell a lot of handmade products. Yeah, you got to check it out. Beautiful leather items and glass cups. And a lot of Mennonite moms have their fingers and all that stuff. It's all made from women that I know in my real life. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool. I love the community that you all have out there in Lancaster. Like, that just sounds like a dream for homemakers, honestly. But it's nice that we can at least follow along with your podcast and feel like we're in that community with you.
Oh, that's nice to say. I never thought of it.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining me and sharing your wisdom.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.